Lori Vallelo is a leader in our Florida Public Health PBRN. She is on the faculty at University of Florida, Jacksonville, in the School of Medicine, and is associate director, or are you a director now, of the Center for Health Equity and Quality Research.
We are looking for a director, so everybody is looking for a job. We're recruiting.
So, thank you, Lori.
Great, great. Thank you, Glenn. I just want to spend a few minutes discussing about our Florida Public Health PBRN. We are a fairly new PBRN. We've been around for 3 or 4 years, and for this particular project, it's part of the DAC study that Glenn mentioned that's funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And for this study, we have a academic PI, which is Bill Livingood, who's here in the audience, and a community PI, which is Dr. Bonnie Sorensen, who is the health department director of a medium-sized health department in our state. Our state chose STI services as our delivery and cost study, mainly because this is a huge function of the county health departments, and it's a function that is required by all county health departments to do, but we're seeing a lot of increasing pressure on trying to perform these services in an environment of decreasing costs. In the last 5 years, the funding for STI services has dropped by 50%. But really, the requirements of what the counties are supposed to be doing has not really changed during that time period. In addition, we're only looking at gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis cases. We're not looking at HIV cases. In Florida, HIV is done by a whole separate bureau. It's not done by the STD Bureau in Florida, so we wanted to keep those separate. So there's really two approaches in cost analysis. We heard Adam talk about the micro-cost analysis, which is looking at the time studies of individuals in performing certain tasks. We started with the micro-cost analysis, looking at the whole state as a whole, and then drilling down to the county level, and then drilling down to the service level. We did that because our state has some really great data systems. We are a semi-centralized state where we have a centralized Department of Health that has HR systems, accounting systems, and patient information systems that is managed and run by the state for each of the county health departments. Now, each of our county health departments does have some latitude to do different things within each county, and some of them do get county-level funding to do different projects as well. So it's really a hybrid at this point. But over the last 10 years, the state has really invested a lot of money into these systems for each of the county health departments to use. So our primary aim is to identify the unit cost of delivering STI prevention and control services and examine the effects of variations in the delivery system characteristics on cost. And again, we looked at the standardization and centralization of programs and services across the state, the centralization of IT and human resource systems, because everybody in the county health department is a state employee. So they all have the same benefits, they all have the same pay ranges, so that makes it a little bit easier than counties where you have a wide variation of that. We also looked at economies of scale related to population size of the county health department jurisdiction. And finally, we looked at local tax and other revenue support for county health services. One of the things that we found is there is a lot of variation on how the services are delivered by county through mainly because of funding and some other issues. For instance, some counties have their own disease intervention specialists that they use to follow through with cases, while others may rely on other counties to do that. Or other counties have a hybrid where they have some of their own staff as well as rely on other counties to help them through these processes. So this is just an overall cost model of what we're looking at. The inputs was staff, materials, equipment, and infrastructure costs. And we looked at certain processes such as surveillance, testing, treatment, and partner notification. And our outputs was cost per case and cost per unit of service. So like I mentioned earlier, Florida has a lot of great data, and this is where we started with a big picture look at the data. Florida has the Financial Information Reporting System, or FIRS, which really is a cost accounting system almost to really identify costs to a very minute level. I think there's over 300 cost codes that we looked at for the FERS data with just for STI services. So there's a lot of cost data per county, per I'm trying to think departments. They don't call them departments, but the department would be STIs. So they have that all broken down by department, by county. And we also looked at the revenue that each county had and the counts and the rates for STIs throughout each county demographics. And then finally we looked at the PRISM system. PRISM is a homegrown system that is a STI case management system. Every positive reported case in the state gets reported through PRISM, whether it's through the county health departments or through private providers, hospitals, ERs. Every positive chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis case, and HIV case gets reported through PRISM. And this is how each county health department tracks what's going on in their county, similar to the CDERS program. But this is just for STDs. And so the PRISM system also really looks at how each case is managed throughout the process for the interviews, the treatment portion, as well as the partner notification portion. So it really follows the case as it goes through the system. And finally, we looked at some primary data. After we collected all this secondary data, we really found some holes and gaping areas that we needed some more information on to understand why some counties are really very different and how they do things and the cost of services in those counties. So this really illustrates the state average for the detailed cost per case. As you can see, staffing is a huge portion of the cost. That's 81%. And then we have some other costs such as supplies, travel, building maintenance, lab services, etc. And looking at the average salary of a disease intervention specialist, that's running about $45,000 salary and benefits. So they're running about $35,000 a year with salary and benefits. Now, this is the more interesting part. Looking at the same cost per case for each county, we saw a huge range in the cost. So as low as $1.81 per case, as high as $893 per case. And this is really a lot has to do with how the services are delivered and what funding sources each county got. So we'll see a little bit more about this in a minute, but really for many counties, they provided very little STI services, even though they're required to within their infrastructure. They're really sort of passing on the buck to another county. So in order to really explore the variations between the counties and how they provide STI services, we interviewed some key informants across the state, and that includes our PBRN members, our state office for STD control, as well as county health department STD managers. Based on some of the things that we got from these interviews, we ended up developing a survey, and the state also has STD Council, which is managed by county health department directors, leadership directors, who are interested in STD services. So our STD Council was instrumental in helping us develop the survey as well as field the survey. So we sent the survey out to all 67 counties, county health departments, and luckily we got all 67 county health departments surveys back. And that has to really be attributed to our STD Council leadership, who really pushed every county to report. Now, the survey really looked at some of the cross-jurisdiction sharing of STI staff, some detailed information on the level of service delivery by priority populations. Florida uses a priority tier grid to do STI investigations. So they have a priority one population, priority two population, et cetera. So they really have a way to set what populations they want to go after first, and if they have time and money, then they'll go after the next priority population, et cetera. We also looked at other staff involved in STI investigations besides the disease intervention specialists or the DIS workers. And finally, we looked at community collaborations for testing and outreach, because the more they had community collaborations, the more positives they got within the community, which sometimes also added more strain to the county health department to do follow-up investigations. one interesting finding that we saw in our survey, that there's a whole wide range of funding sources for these disease intervention specialists. In some counties, as you can see here, about 17 counties get only money from the state for DIS worker positions. Some get local money only for DIS positions. Some have grant money, and some have a mixture of that. So it really is a huge variation on the types of funding they get and how they perform these services based on this funding. So we also looked at the staffing arrangements they had across the counties, and this is just for the disease intervention specialist staffing positions. So you can see it's about a third that had their own staff who did these field work. Some have relied totally on other counties to do the field work, and some had a mixture of county of their own staff as well as relying on other counties. So it's really like big, small, and medium. The medium counties usually had a mix. The small counties really relied on another county to do their field work, and the large counties, you know, sort of took care of their neighbors. So we also looked at some of the other staff besides the DIS workers who did STI investigations, and we found that there is a wide variety of staff who pitched in when needed. You can see almost a third of the counties use nurses for STI field work, while some also use PAs, ARNPs, and even physicians to do some of this field work. One of the questions we looked at is what percentage of time does each of these staffing levels did in the field work? And about, I think pretty much the vast majority only had about 25% of their time dedicated to doing STI field work. So they're really having other jobs within the health department, and they're just pitching in to trying to cover some of the work from the DIS workers. So overall, some of our findings that we found, you know, in the funding category, we really found some different sources of funding impacted the level of services provided. There was also a wide variability in discretionary or local tax money for county health departments. For instance, in our state, some counties got no local funding from their county government, while others got as much as $13 per capita. So there's a huge variation on what they each got from their own county resources. So those county health departments that received county funding had generally had higher unit costs as well. Now, looking at the service delivery variations, certainly, as we described earlier, there's a lot of cross-jurisdiction sharing of DIS and surveillance staff for some counties, especially the small rural counties. And there's definitely a variation in the extent of the STI investigations of certain populations due to funding and staffing constraints. And this is how far they got in that priority tier grid. Did they just get the first tier or even part of the first tier, or even a zip code within a part of the first tier. So there really was a lot of variation in how deep they got into these STI investigations. And finally, there's some overqualified staff performing these services as well. Some of the inefficiencies identified include some services were redundant to what was provided by the private sector, the way the state works, all positive cases, whether they came from the county health department, from a private physician, from a hospital, from an ER, all had to be worked up. And so what they found is about 95% of the private provider clients who had positive tests had received treatment. So they are spending, you know, these limited resource time for these DIS workers to call around doctor's offices and ERs to find out if these people have gotten treatment. And like I said, 95% of the time they have. So this is sort of a waste of their time when they're having so few DIS workers these days since of the funding cuts. One of the other things we found is a lot of variation in screening and testing procedures. While most of the health departments use the urine aptima test for gonorrhea and chlamydia, some still did some exams and cultures, which is a lot more expensive way to do it. But some of the rationale behind that is they had to pay $10 to get the aptima test done, while they may have staff, you know, in-house to do the exams. So those exams are sort of free in their mind, which, you know, they aren't, because there's a lot of staff time involved in doing those. So even with Florida's comprehensive data systems and statewide policies and procedures for delivering STI services, we really see a large variations in how they are delivered and the cost of those services across the board. Those counties that had local funding also had higher costs, but also seemed to provide more comprehensive services because of that. And finally, this data will be used by the practice community to redefine what types of STI services should be delivered by the health departments in identifying and prioritizing cost-saving strategies. And through this process, several of the cost-saving strategies have already been identified, and so the next step is to work with our STD Council to now work through those different strategies and trying to come up with ways to improve that. And that's actually our phase two of our study that we're hopefully kicking off in the beginning of next year.